I'm crazy enough with notes. But, anyway, serving the Lord is just awesome. And I hope you enjoyed the Sunday school lesson. And our Lord was a perfect example of getting people saved and being what He needed to be here on earth. And today we're going to look at a familiar, I guess, familiar verse, familiar chapter in Luke 18. And we'll read, I guess, the first 14 verses. And then I'll allude to the other parts. But the title of my sermon today, if you're taking notes, is Men Ought Always to Pray. And again, Christianity is, I guess, goes along with praying because I believe you have to do that to become a Christian. For whosoever shall call. And you have to call upon the name of the Lord. And I've had people tell me a lot of, oh, I pray every day, or I pray all the time, things like that. But according to the Bible, that's the first prayer that He hears. Is, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. If you haven't ever prayed that, all the rest of them, you know, they always say it just doesn't get out of the ceiling, boing, boing, boing. You have to be His son or His daughter, His child, to have Him answer your prayer. And then there's things that we can do after we're a Christian. We regard iniquity in our heart, the Bible says He will not hear. If husband and wife are having issues, the Bible says He will not hear. There are certain things that we can do to cause Him not to answer our prayers. But today, we're going to look at this verse, and it says here that men ought always to pray. And it's found in verse 1, and I'll read it, and then of course we'll come back and read the rest. It says in verse 1, and He spake a parable unto them, and that's what we saw in Sunday school this morning, was parable. Basically a story that has instruction inside of it, or examples inside of it. So He spake unto them a parable to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. And so of course we're commanded here in this verse to pray all the time. And don't quit, don't give up, don't stop. That's what that means there. And so there's other verses in the Bible that we might allude to this morning. 1 Thessalonians 5:17, it says, pray without ceasing. Again, that's a command from the Lord that we're supposed to always pray. Pray without ceasing. Another place is 1 Timothy 2:8. 1 Timothy 2:8, I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. And of course, so we see here that these are the only three I'm going to mention this morning, but all three of them tell us to pray. Pray all the time. Pray everywhere. Don't stop praying. And pray without ceasing. And so, again, I remember the first time as a 17-year-old boy reading that verse, pray without ceasing. And I thought, does God mean that I'm supposed to stay at the altar 24/7? Obviously, that's not what He's talking about. And there are certain times that we might not can even voice a prayer. But according to the Bible says that even in our groanings, that we don't know how to word a prayer, that the Holy Spirit will interpret our groanings to the Lord. So I believe all this, these principles is teaching us to be in an attitude of prayer all the time. And I take that serious. I do spend time at this altar. I do. Yesterday when I was vacuuming, as I went through, I remembered where everybody sits. And I prayed for you while I was vacuuming. And so, not with my eyes closed, not up here. The vacuum cleaner won't go by itself. That'd be nice. But anyway, I had to move. And so, but I was praying for you. I was praying for needs that I knew of. I prayed for broken shoulders. I prayed for people that were going to be gone today. I prayed for people that were sick. Why? Because I always try to be in an attitude of prayer. And again, there are certain things that I like to do. Right there at the top of the list is hunting and fishing. And so I'm always praying when I'm hunting and fishing. It might be, Lord, help a big old huge buck come around that corner right there, or help a big old huge fish bite this bait. But there's also times where I just talk to Him. And tell Him I love Him. Thank You for the opportunity to live. Thank You for the opportunity to do things I enjoy doing. Things like that. So we ought to always be in an attitude of prayer. There's nothing wrong with that. I've played golf with Brother Dan before. That's an experience right there, amen. But the Bible says, whatsoever your hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. So, I mean, when I hit that ball, I'm going to do it with all my might. But I ask the Lord, help it go straight. Now, does He answer it every time? No, because I've been in the woods, I've been in the water, all that kind of stuff. But, I just think He likes it. That whatever you're doing, He wants to be involved. He wants to be a part of it. And that's what it's talking about. Men ought to always pray. Pray without ceasing. Pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands. I can't read that verse without telling this story. I think I've told it before. But we had a missionary in the church we worked at that he traveled a lot. And his son was in our Christian school there at our church. And so sometimes when he would go out of town, he would stay with us. And so we went out to eat. I think it was Golden Corral that night. And, you know, because teenage guys, you can't fill them up. So buffet, brother. Just go for it. You know, eat them, eat them, eat, eat, eat. And so we got back to the table after fixing our plates. And I said, Philip, I said, we take the Bible literally in our house. And I read him this verse. Men ought to always pray everywhere, even at Golden Corral, lifting up holy hands. I was like, so get them up. And so he's like, yeah, he's doing all this stuff. And I mean, I'm cracking up and so forth. But anyway, but you ought to always pray. And I do. Driving down the road, I'm talking to him. Again, not with your eyes closed. Please. And so forth. You said, well, I drive like this. I wouldn't recommend it. But anyway, so always pray. And that's what the Bible says here. And so we're going to read these first 14 verses where he's teaching them this parable. He's like, I want you to pray all the time. I want you to talk to me all the time. And it says, he's giving an example of a parable here, saying, there was a city, a judge, which feared not God, neither regarded man. So this guy was pretty much, wasn't saved, was a jerk to most people. And it says here, there was a widow in that city. And she came to him saying, avenge me of my adversary. So she had been done wrong. And she was trying to do it correctly and taking it to the judge and letting him, make the judgment. And he could care less and so forth. And it says here, he would not for a while. So he's like, lady, just leave me alone. Go on. It says here, but after he said within himself, he's like, oh my goodness, here she comes again. I know what she's going to say. And so forth. It says here, though I fear not God nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continually coming, she weary me. And so Jesus, obviously, if you have a red letter edition, that's Jesus speaking. He's like, I'm telling you, I'm giving you the okay. Bother me to death if you need to. And of course, we have other principles in the Bible where the man went and asked for some bread, said, I got a friend that came and I don't have enough bread to feed him. Give me some. And he said, no, we're already asleep in the bed. Go on, leave us alone. He knocked again, and the guy got up. Again, not because he was his friend, not because he was happy about it, but he said, just take it and get. And so, again, I don't think that, that's the type of prayer we're always supposed to pray, just bugging, 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 bugging. But, we did it this morning in Sunday school. We'll do it Wednesday night at church. We'll take prayer requests. There's several of them that I could say them with you. Why? Because I've heard them over and over and over. But that's exactly what he's saying. Right? Just keep telling me. Keep telling me. Keep asking me. And so forth. Then verse 6:6 it says here, and the Lord said, hear what the unjust saith. And he shall, and shall not God avenge his heart or his own elect with a cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, he shall find faith on the earth. And he spake a parable unto certain which trusted themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, and even as this publican. I fast twice in a week. I give tithes and all that I possess. And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much his eyes unto heaven, but smote his breast upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. For I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For every one that exalteth himself shall be abased, but he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. So we see that obviously God tells us in this parable, I want you to ask. You can't bother me. You can't bug me enough, but I want you to. And then he gives us kind of a mentality, the way to go about it. And so first of all, we're going to look at a couple things here. Why should we pray? Why does the Bible says men always to pray? Number one, because God said so. Those of you that are parents in here, you've probably used that line before. You may have one of those children that asks why, and they just keep on and keep on and keep on. And sometimes you try to give an example or a reason why that sounds very educated and makes you look intelligent. Sometimes you're like, ugh! But then sometimes you say, because I said so. So why should we ought always to pray? Number one, because God tells us to. He's like, I want you to pray all the time. And then it says in the introduction, and he spake. There it is. He's the one that spake. God said so. Then it says here, a parable unto them. This story was providing instructive examples in our lesson. How and when, always. Just keep on and keep on and keep on. So those of you that do have that prayer request that you mentioned week in and week out, keep on. And of course, we heard some this morning. Brother Harris has been mentioning the fellow that's been in a coma for months. He is awake now. There have been some that we've had that's had cancer, and they've went back to the doctor, and they're cancer-free. God has answered that prayer. Of course, now, again, we can give him our opinion. We can say, I would rather you answer it like this, but we see that God does answer prayer, and he gives us that parable. And then it goes on to say in verse 1, to this end. This is how I want you to do it. This is the reason why. And I don't want you to give up. I don't want you to stop. I don't want you to doubt. I want you to faint not. So this parable used, this widow was coming to this judge that could care less about God. And these words that popped out in her verses, she came saying, in other words, she prayed, avenge me of my adversaries. She let her request be made known unto God. I believe that's a Bible principle as well. She troubleth him. She kept coming and kept coming. Her continual coming. And then it says here, she cried day and night. I mean, it was serious to her. She asked God asked the judge to do what, and it says here, she bare long. So why should we always to pray? Because number one, God says so. Here's how. The Pharisee came, and he came not humbled, but braggadociously. Now, we do know the Bible says, come boldly to the throne. But again, that's not on our abilities. That's not on our achievements. We can come boldly to the throne because God is bold. He's the one that can answer the prayer. So we ought to come boldly. I've heard people say sometimes you ought to pray kind of like a lawyer in a cross-examination. Remind God. The Bible says that widow, she kept coming, God, so here I am again. There's several people, and we're going to look at some of them today, that came to God and prayed. So we ought to come, again, boldly under the throne on God's merit, not ours. We ought to come humbly to the throne like the publican did. So the Pharisee in verse 11 says here, he prayed with himself. In other words, it was all about his words and what he was saying. It wasn't about God. It said right here, he prayed with himself. He didn't say he prayed to God. And the Bible talks about vain repetition. We ought not just come vain repetition. It may be a repetition of that same prayer request, but it ought not just be words. Talk to him. And come to him over and over and over. And so he prayed with himself. And it says here that God wasn't mentioned in his prayers. And then he goes on basically giving God his resume. Jesus had a resume of healing, of salvation, of never sinning. I mean, we could just keep on going down Jesus' resume. But the Bible says he made himself of no reputation. So he didn't come down and say, hey, look at this and watch this and see how I am. He just did it. He had a reputation, but he didn't make himself a one. So this guy, he's coming and giving God his resume. Again, our resume is maybe saved sinner, but still hell deserving. That's about it. Anything good that we do, sing a solo or serve the Lord or serve Him, it's just because of God's goodness. So come boldly and say, God, thank you for allowing me to. But listen to what he said. It says here, I'm not like this fella. He's unjust. I'm not like the adulterers. I'm not like the publicans. Oh yeah, by the way, I fast twice in a week. And I give my tithes. Again, that's not how to get your prayers answered. You know, you don't give God your list. This is what all I've done for you. No. The Bible says that that's going to be tried by fire, most likely burned up, and you will not even get rewarded for it when you get to heaven, if that's the only reason you're doing it, to get it on the list. But we come humbly to Him. The publican, he stood afar off. He didn't want to be front and center. He didn't want to say, "Hey God, it's me, Mr. Perfect, Super Christian." No, he stood over there. Then it says he didn't even lift up his eyes. In other words, his head was bowed, humbled. So we see not only should we pray, always to pray because God said so. He gives us examples how. Don't give your resume. Just be thankful that you're saved and thank Him for all that stuff. Of course, we have the model prayer in the Bible to praise Him, to let our supplications be known, all this, that, and other. But Jesus has made Himself no reputation. Verse 13, it says here, the publican, he stood afar off. He didn't lift up so much as his eyes to heaven. He was humbled. He bowed. And then it says here, he smote his breast. He was not worthy. And again, if you see yourself like you should, and you go talk to Him, you know, that's the way you're going to be. God, I don't even deserve me talking to you. I don't deserve you to answer my prayer. But I love you, and I appreciate you. And the Bible says that I can bring my requests and let them be made known to you. And you have the power. I want you to answer it the way you want to. So when we come to Him, again, it ought not be, "Hey, big man upstairs, yo." No, it ought to be with reverence. It ought to be with respect. Verse 14, it says here that He exalted Himself. And it says that the ones that do that, they're going to be abased. In other words, they're going to go away without their prayers being answered. But that person that comes humbly, they're going to go away exalted, and God's going to answer their prayer. So why should we always to pray? Because God said so. And He tells us how to. So in that example there, we see here He wants us to pray with persistence. I've already prayed that. You have to do it again. It's just like going to school. I've already learned my times tables. You got to do them again. I've already learned all the rules in English. You got to do them again. You keep on and keep on and keep on. So we ought to be persistent with humility. And the Bible says without ceasing. Then it says here without doubt. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. So when we hear that God can answer our prayer and God has the strength to answer our prayer, we ought to go and say, "God, I'm not doubting this morning. I might be a little wavering a little bit, but I know the Bible says that You can answer prayer. You have the strength. I know You can do it." So pray without doubting. Then pray without wrath. Don't get mad. "God, I've been asking." No, don't pray with wrath. He shows us how. So men ought always to pray, number one, because God says so. Secondly, because God can and will answer our prayer. The reason He says to do it, because He's just waiting. All right, He's waiting to give us. The Bible gives that example how if a son, I'm paraphrasing here, if a dad loves his son, and his son asks him for some bread, will he give him a rock? And I always make that statement. Some of you dads might do that just to mess with your son. And especially when he asks for a stick, you give him a snake and so forth. But God wants to answer our prayers. And that's why He says, just keep asking me. Keep asking me. I want to pray. God can and will. I'll give you a couple examples. Acts 10:34 says this. "Of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons." I'll read that verse again. "Of a truth." This is true. God is no respecter of persons. So if He answered, let's go all the way back to Adam. If He answered Adam's prayer, He will answer our prayer. And we're going to see some of these guys that prayed and God answered their prayers. And if He is no respecter of persons, He's going to answer our prayer. Genesis 20, verse 17 says, "Abraham prayed unto God, and God healed Abimelech." So obviously we know Abraham, God told him to leave his family, leave his country, and "I'm going to give you a great nation," and so forth. And so God and Abraham had a relationship. The first prayer Abraham mentioned in the Bible was for the healing of Abimelech, and God did it. And then we know it just kept on going. Abraham went to the hilltop, was going to sacrifice his son, and he was in an attitude of prayer. He may not have said, "God, provide Yourself a lamb. God, I don't really want to sacrifice my son." He was being obedient. He was doing what God says. But I guarantee you those groanings that was going on in Abraham's mind and in heart. "God, I don't understand this. I prayed for him and you finally gave him. I know I goofed and got ahead of you and we have another son, but finally you did what you said you would do and now you're asking me to sacrifice him? I don't know what to do about this. And of course, I've heard preachers say that, you know, he was bound there. The little boy's like, Dad, I see the wood and I see the fire, but where's the sacrifice? Can you imagine what his heart felt like that day? It's okay, God. God's going to take care of it, buddy. And they went on up to the top. And I don't know if the knife was raised and all of a sudden he heard something and looked and there's the ram caught in the thicket. But God answered his prayer. He's no respecter of persons. If he answered it for Abraham, he'll answer it for us. Numbers 11:2 says this, and when Moses prayed, the fire was quenched. And of course, this is the first prayer of Moses, and God obviously quenched the fire. And of course, Moses prayed for a lot of other things. He prayed for God to take out the people. He prayed for God not to take out the people. Praise the Lord, God answered it both times. And Moses was a prayer warrior. And so, but God says he's no respecter of person. Well, I'm not Moses, but God's God. And he can answer your prayer just like he answered Moses' prayer. Jacob prayed for a favorable reception from Esau. If you know that story, Jacob tricked Esau out of his birthright. And his mom helped him with the endeavor. And then, of course, Esau was upset. And Jacob's like, I'm out. And so he left. And of course, they were going to come back for a meeting. And he was praying, help my big brother not to pound my head. And as the big brother, I'm sure my little brother prayed, help my big brother not pound my head. And as the big brother, I would pray, Lord, help me to be like you want me to be. And so we understand this was a situation that was touchy. Some of you have touchy situations in your family. God can answer it. Say, God, Jacob and Esau, they got back together without a fight. You put their relationship back together. Please help me and mine. God is no respecter of persons. Gideon prayed, and God overthrew the Midianites. You know that story. I mean, they were outnumbered. We're doomed. We're done. But God, he said, God, help us. And he's, okay, grab a pitcher, grab a light, and just go out there when I tell you to break them and all that kind of stuff. You know the story. They were outnumbered, but God helped in that situation. So when you have a situation, God, I don't see an outcome that's favorable to me. I am way outnumbered here. I need your help. Just ask him. Remember Gideon? You said you were no respecter of persons. You worked out that situation. Here's another one. Elijah prayed and fire came down from heaven. You know that story. Elijah's over there teasing with the false gods. Pray louder. Your God may be asleep. And teasing with him, things like that. And he had confidence in his God. And so when we get told, you know, you Christians, y'all are, you know, loony bins. I don't know why you do what you're doing. Just remember this prayer. God's going to take care of us. God's going to work out the situation. And Elisha, obviously, was hanging around Elijah. And he prayed for a double portion. And if you look in the Bible and you follow that story, is exactly what God did. He gave Elisha twice as much as Elijah did in all those situations. And reminding them of that, Hannah prayed. She wanted a son, and God gave her Samuel. And Hezekiah prayed, and God killed 185,000 Assyrians. Job prayed. Again, if you've had loss in your life, the Bible says Job lost more than anybody, yet without sin. He didn't stop praying. That's what the devil wants you to do when he puts you through some hurt. Or takes you away. He wants you to get mad at God. Blame him. What'd Job do? He just kept praying. God, I don't know why you're doing this, but I'm going to trust you. And what did God do for Job? Gave him twice as much as he had. So what an amazing story. And God is no respecter of persons. So if you've had loss, just go through the loss yet without sin. And God will give you twice as much. Daniel prayed, and the lion's mouths were shut. I've been in some serious situations before where I needed God to help. I don't know that I've ever been in this kind of a situation. I've had some things chase me with open mouths, dogs, all kinds of stuff. But Daniel prayed, and God shut the lion's mouth. Jonah prayed in the belly of a whale, in a tight spot. I don't know if Jonah was claustrophobic or not. But he got out of there. Paul and Silas prayed, and God delivered them from prison. Here's one. Peter prayed and got to walk on the water. God, if that's you, bid me to come. All right, come on. God will answer your prayers just like he did. He's no respecter of persons. Elias prayed and God kept it from raining for 3 years and 6 months. Now, I've never got it to stop raining for 3 years and 6 months. But there's been times where I was working and I needed to get the situation done. And I mean, it was black as it could be. Maybe even lightning flashing everywhere. And I was like, God, let me get this job done before it stops raining or starts raining. Pulled the lawnmower up into the back of the trailer, shut it, got in the truck, boom. And the Holy Spirit says, there you go. Amen. That can happen if you always to pray, if you pray without ceasing. Again, God can answer your prayers. So we see here, Jesus prayed, Father, let this cup pass from me. He was in the Garden of Gethsemane, sweating great sweat drops of blood. Thought he was going to die before he made it to the cross. And he asked God, God, let this cup pass from me. And he did, and he made it for the joy that it was set before him. He gave his life on the cross. But then another prayer he prayed. Jesus prayed, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Job was pretty close. Those friends, Job, you must be a wicked sinner. Job's wife even, just curse God and die. Yet without sin. So we see here, God is no respecter of persons. If somebody is being mean to you, the prayer God wants you to pray is just like Jesus. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they're doing. You say, well, this person knows what they're doing. Still, just give it to God and let God take care of it. He'll do a whole lot better than you can. So, why should we always to pray? Because God says so. Secondly, because we have a God that will and can, or can and will, answer prayer. A couple things underneath that. Some say, I don't understand how prayer works. So that's exactly what the devil says. All right, you don't understand it. So just don't do it. I'll give you a couple examples. This morning, some of you got up this morning and you do not understand electricity, but you flip the light switch on. You turn the curling iron on. All right? You still did it, even though you don't understand all the electricity, the workings of it. But you still did it. So even if you don't understand prayer, still pray. Here's one. Some of you do not understand mechanics. But I don't think anybody walked to church this morning. You stuck the key in it. You turned it. It cranked up and it got you here. All right. And some of you, again, you may have been more cool than some, more new than some. Some of you were praying all the way. You know, God, I put oil, I put transmission fluid, I put, all kinds of stuff in it. Help it make it. But anyway, you don't understand how the mechanics of a car work, but you didn't walk. Here's one. We don't understand, or some of us don't understand, the mechanism that we hold in our hand. But some of you Facebooked this morning already. Instagrammed, text, called. You don't understand how this works, but you just did it. That's exactly what God's saying. You might not understand all about prayer, but just pray. Here's one. We don't understand about biology. But when we go to the doctor and the doctor says, you have this, this is what you need to take. Give it to me. All right? Why? Because that's what the doctor said to do. And so you're going to obey him and do what he says. God says, pray. I don't understand how to pray. I don't understand how prayer works. Just do it. I don't understand the digestive system. But I ate me a donut this morning. Amen? Why? Because there was one back there that had, it was a cake donut with some chocolate icing on top of it. Oh, my goodness. And there was only two, and I took one. All right? But I don't understand the digestive system. I got a little bit of opinion about it, but I still ate it. How about this one? You go to a high rise, and there's stairs, floor after floor after floor after floor, or there's this box you can get in, and it'll take you up. Well, I don't understand elevators and how they work. I'm not walking them that many stairs. I know the dumbwaiter thing and I know the ups and the downs and there's electricity and things like that. I know a little bit, but I'm just going to push that button and open that door and let it carry me to the top. Some of us, we don't understand, you know, how coffee sweeteners work. But oh, we're all about it. Man, we're gonna flavor that thing up. I call it get you a cup of Josephine instead of a cup of Joe, because you're gonna sweeten it up and dash this and squirt that and a shot of this and a shot of that. I don't understand, but it tastes good. It tastes a whole lot better than just bitter coffee. So you understand what I'm saying. If you don't understand prayer, still do it because God said so and because He can answer. Some say that this world, this America especially, is in a big old mess. It won't do good, do any good to pray anyway. I mean, it can look like a situation that's just done. We could go all the way back through those prayer requests. Moses and Jonah and Job, all those situations looked hopeless, but God came through. The Bible says, for such a time as this, God knows that the Bible says that it's going to get worse and worse and worse. All it does says to me is the coming of the Lord has got to be soon because it's getting worse and worse. But I ought to always pray, no matter what the situation is. There has never been a great moral or spiritual awakening in history that was not rooted in prayer. I'm going to list a few this morning. But any spiritual awakening that this world's ever experienced, it started with prayer. And one of them's in the Bible, Pentecost. I mean, they had 3,000 people saved, 3,000 people baptized, and 3,000 people joined the church. I think that's been done a couple other times in history of the world, but not very many. And this was the first time it ever happened. But it says that the apostles held prayer meetings in Acts 1:14. It says, and they continued night and day in prayer. So again, we see that, yeah, we want our church to grow. We want individuals to get saved. We want individuals to grow in Christ. But we have to bathe it in prayer. We meant always to pray. Here's a couple of things that took place as far as revivals, awakenings, reformations. Of course, Luther prayed before the Reformation. Knox prayed before Scotland trembled. Brainerd prayed before the Indians were subdued. Wesley prayed and millions were won to the Lord. Whitfield prayed and thousands were saved. Finney prayed and a mighty revival broke out. Mueller prayed and $7 million was taken up to feed thousands of orphans. Moody prayed and two continents were shaken for the Lord. So all these awakenings, they started with prayer. Men ought always to pray. God wants to. He's not just sitting on His hands not wanting to do things. He's just waiting for us to pray. We ought always to pray. Why? Because God can and will answer prayer. Yes, there is a problem in America. And most churches don't know which way's up. What they're doing, they're I guess, succumbing to the devil's plan and changing and trying to reach the world in their own way, where the Bible tells us how to do it. Most churches, they don't know which way's up. They can't tell, you know, a lot of churches, you can't tell the difference between them and a nightclub. You can't tell whether they're following God, Muhammad, Confucius, or whoever else. They're just doing that which was right in their own eyes. We have a bunch of the Old Testament that shows us that. They have left and they've changed God's Word so much to the point that they're all that matters is their individual opinions. That's exactly the devil's plan. And so they've convinced churches, okay, you've got to become like the world to reach the world. Make the world feel comfortable. The Holy Spirit doesn't make me feel comfortable. When I've done something wrong, He wants me to be uncomfortable till I get it right. So we see here that there's no house of God in a lot of places. There's no Word of God in a lot of places. Then there's no prayer to God in a lot of places. And so there's no evangelism for God in a lot of places. What has happened? Rebellion and materialism. And doing that which is right in their own eyes. They blame the failure of evangelism on one force and power that has kept the spiritual flame alive. They say, you know, you've just turned people away. Those of you that say you have the truth, and they blame that. But we see that if there's no house of prayer, there's no house of God, and there's no prayer to God, and there's no evangelism for God, and there's no Word of God, obviously it's going to be dismantled. So having all four of these things in order is the right way and right emphasis that we should do, and the only way for revival. And we can't we can't take one out. There has to be the lighthouse. There has to be the house of God. There has to be the lighthouse in the area. There has to be the Word of God. The Bible says that it is the incorruptible seed. We have to have it. We have to have the prayer. And we have to have the evangelism to reach the world. See, some need to say, I will pray and put things in perspective. I will pray and put things in perspective. Why? Because God said so. Because He can and will answer prayer. So we might not understand it. We say that there it won't work anyway. But what we have to do is say, I will always pray. Number three. Because we must pray and put feet to our prayers. We must pray and put feet to our prayers. All those men that we listed a while ago, and even the ladies, put feet to their prayers. They didn't just sit on their blessed assurance and say, okay, God, here's my prayer. You take care of it. I'm just going to sit here. No, every one of them put feet to their prayers. Peter put feet to his prayers. Lord, is that you bid me to come? He took the first step on the water. All of them, we could just go through every one of them and put feet to their prayers. So we ought to do what we can and put feet to our prayers. Prayer and action. Oh Lord, I want a house. Okay, and I've been praying that lately. I want a house. All right, but a person, this is what God said. If you're praying, oh Lord, I want a house, grab a hammer and a saw. In other words, do something about it. Don't just sit there. Lord, I want a house. Here's how you get a house. Ask God to help you and get a hammer and a saw in your hand. Oh, Lord, I want to be a strong Christian. And just sit there? No. If I want to be a strong Christian, I want to make you pleased with me, God. I want a Bible in my hand. I want church attendance to be in mine. I want separation from the world. I want the gospel tracts in my hand. I want to live and love my neighbor as myself. I want to have calluses on my knees because I ought always to pray. So God, I want to be a good Christian, but these are some steps that I'm going to take for you to help you answer that prayer. Oh Lord, help America. And I always say this when we talk about this. Be a part of the solution, not a part of the problem. That's how you put feet to your prayers. You know, America's this, politicians are this, and this, that, and that. So what are we doing? God bless it. God help us. Help us for such a time as this. But let's be a part of the solution, not a part of the problem. If my people shall turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear. Hear from heaven and heal their lands. So we've got to put feet to our prayer. Oh Lord, give me a mate. I know we have several young people here today, and this is prevalent on your mind. I need me a husband. I need me a wife. Okay, we got to put feet to your prayers. Nobody will ever talk to me. Nobody will ever ask me out. Nobody. The Bible says he that has friends, that's how it's supposed to start, must show himself friendly. In other words, again, I wouldn't say like the world would say, advertise. You know, I don't know about all these dating apps and things like that. I don't know. Be what God wants you to be. That way you'll attract the right kind of person. Be where God wants you to be. I would suggest finding a mate in church, not a bar. I would suggest finding a mate in church, you know, not out in this world. So put some feet to your prayers. Be faithful. Be friendly. Again, if you're scaring everybody off, how in the world? So put some feet to your prayer. Here's one. Lord, help my health as I eat 16 donuts. So put some feet to your prayer. Walk out after one. That's what I had to do. My brain, my belly wanted more than one this morning. But put some feet to your prayer. Eat right. Exercise. Rest. Again, I know some people, they'll try to do 10 days work in 5. You're not going to last. Put some feet to your prayers. Get some rest. Take care of yourself. Bible says bodily exercise profiteth little. Take care of yourself. Oh Lord, save souls. But I'm just going to sit right here. I know the church goes out on Saturday, but I'm just going to sit right here. I know that I'm supposed to take tracts and pass them out all the time, but I'm just not going to do that. But save souls. Put feet to your prayers. Oh, Lord, give me a job. I need a job. But do you look at the want ads? I don't know if that's even a thing. Indeed, I think that's a thing. And there's jobs on Craigslist. There's now hiring signs everywhere. But, you know, Lord, give me a job. But I'm going to stay right here on the couch and get to this next level and eat this other bag of Cheetos. But, Lord, give me a job. It's not going to work. You got to put some feet to your prayer sometimes. So, if there's a storm and you're in a boat, Here's two things: pray and row. Okay? Obviously, there's examples of that in the Bible. The storm was coming, and Paul was praying, and God's like, look, the boat's getting destroyed. I'm taking the boat out, but all y'all going to be all right. And the Bible says some of them grabbed some broken pieces, and but they all made it. So they did what they could. So if you're in a storm, don't just sit there. Pray and row. Pray and do what you can. Put feet to your prayers. Pray like everything depends on God, but work like everything depends on you. That's the way I try to look at life. God, help me to be a good husband. But then I'm going to put some feet to it. Hey, babe, I love you. Hey, you want to go out to eat? Here's some flowers. I want to put some feet to my prayers. Hey, help me to be a good dad. Okay? Again, both of my boys are grown and gone, but I still can be a good dad. Where am I at today? In church. That's being a testimony to them, an example to them. We're going through some situations in life all the time, but handle it right. That's being a good example to them. When they do call and say, hey, Dad, bank of Dad. Hey, Dad, I need some help in this. You help. Put some feet to it. Pray like everything depends on God and work like everything depends on you. So we see here, the Bible says men always to pray. Why? Because God said so. Number two, because we have a God that can and will answer prayer. Number three, because we ought to put some feet to our prayers. And lastly, in closing, because He will answer anything that is asked in His name. Anything that is asked in His name. We have that promise. And so when it's something important to us, it's something that we are serious about, pray in Jesus' name. John 14:13. And whatsoever ye ask in my name, that will I do. So He'll answer it. It's kind of like this down here. I've had loved ones that has had illnesses that we've asked God to pray and heal them. And they went to heaven. So the devil will say, well, God didn't answer your prayer. Au contraire. The Bible says when you get to heaven, you get a new body. Right? So He did answer it. He just chose to answer it that way. My thought, my mind was, I want you to heal them now so I can have them for a little bit longer. But He wanted them to go there. But He answered my prayer in His name. But He just did it how He wanted. So that's what we need to do, is pray in Jesus' name. So don't stop praying. The Lord is nigh. Don't stop praying. He will hear your cry. God has promised He is true. Don't stop praying. He will answer you. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Lord Jesus, thank You for this day and thank You for the opportunity we have to serve You. Lord, I just ask You to help us to see how serious prayer is, but to see how grateful we ought to be for prayer. And the Bible tells us that we ought to always pray and cease not and pray everywhere. And God, I just ask You to help us to have that through in our mind and our heart all week long while we're driving. Help us talk to You. If we're thinking about something that we don't understand, help us to talk to You. If we're faced with something that we didn't choose and we don't even like, help us to talk to You. And everything we do, help us to talk to You. Let's all stand. Brother Derek's going to lead us an invitation. If you're not saved today and you'd like to be saved, please come. If you want to come, thank God for prayer. Altar's open.